You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.
Hey, welcome back to the HR Happy Hour Show. This is HR Happy Hour 192 called Data Now. My name's Steve Bowes. Trish McFarland's with me. Trish, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic. Great to be back on the show. Just for the record, we are recording the show on Tuesday, October 21st, 2014. And hopefully, Trish, if the engineering staff is on board, we'll get this posted hopefully tomorrow on Wednesday. So great to be back on the show. Great to be back doing the HR Happy Hour. Boy, it's been a crazy few weeks, hasn't it? We're just back from HR Tech a couple weeks ago, and man, I think I'm just recovered after a week and a half or a week in Vegas anyway. I don't know how you feel.
How was your
HR Tech experience?
My HR Tech was great, but probably not nearly as hectic as yours, but extremely hectic in a good way. So, my gosh, trying to meet with vendors, meet with practitioners, hit some sessions, present at sessions, go in the expo hall. It was a big whirlwind of activity, but really good. What about for you? I mean, what do you think?
I thought it went pretty well, for sure. It was, yeah, like you said, it was a bit of a blur of activity. A full week in Vegas, which is the longest amount of time I've ever spent consecutively in Las Vegas, wound me down by the end of it for sure. But great event, lots of great people, great content, super discussions. I guess my only regret is just not having enough time to talk to everyone I would have liked to, right? And it just, you know, we're at the point now with that show. Yeah, it's just not possible, right? I tried, but so
did you get outside at all? That's the real question. I mean, in a whole week in Vegas.
Outside.
I mean, it's possible,
right? Probably, yeah. I did briefly during the week, but I didn't really get outside until after tech was over on that final Friday, where I was outside for a while. But yeah, no pool time, none of that. That was unfortunate. But
people think when you travel, especially to Las Vegas, they picture you as getting. You know, you're gambling, you must be lounging by the pool, you're probably seeing movie stars or whatnot, and yeah, that's not really the case, is it?
Yeah, it wasn't super glamorous this time, although we did have a little bit of fun, but not too much, really. Like, it was just, it was definitely kind of business trip for me, for sure. But anyway, I heard nothing but good things, and we're pleased with how it turned out. Excited for next year. It's not too early to make your plans. Next October 18th through 21st, 2015, right back in Las Vegas. So really excited about that. So the other thing that's exciting, Trish, that you and I are involved in, and as well as with our colleagues, is HR Evolution coming up. Do you want to just say a couple words about HR Evolution before we get the show going tonight?
Sure, yes. We have 18 tickets remaining, so it's almost sold out.
Wow.
That's Friday, November 7th is the tweet up, and the event is Saturday, November 8th. It's in Dallas, Texas, down in Grapevine, and we're having it at Symbolist headquarters. It's going to be a wonderful time, and we're just about to announce where the tweet up is going to be held, and it is really, really a cool place. So I think, for $200, it's probably one of the best values out there to come and meet with other HR leaders and practitioners and vendors and really get to know people. So. Very exciting, but yeah, I cannot believe we're just a couple of weeks out from that. That one always amazes me because when you think about it, we've been doing it so long. I feel like we don't really spend all that much time in terms of having big planning meetings and whatnot. So it's just sort of we each do our own little part of planning, and it somehow comes together. So I guess that's a sign of a good working committee, right?
Right. It definitely has that element of sneaking up on me this year for sure, but. Yeah, looking forward to that and getting back to sort of the old school HR Evolution as well. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to, of course, Texas and getting some barbecue. I'm excited about that. And, it's going to be a good event. So uh, Hey, I don't know if I have anything else to finish. I got to go. One more thing. I'm going to, where am I going? I'm going to Miami next week for one day. It seems a little silly to go to Miami for a day, but I am going to Miami for one day to the Sum Total event next week and doing a panel, a Fistful of Talent panel with some of the guys from Fistful of Talent. So that should be exciting, and looking forward to catching a little bit of that event. And looking forward, I'm already starting to get a little bit disaffected with Western New York weather. It has been gray and raining for days and days days. So I can't wait to at least get to Florida and maybe see the sun for 5 minutes. So I'm looking forward to that too. So
sounds like Miami is the perfect place to be, right?
Yes. So, I don't know if you have anything else we wanted to mention, but otherwise let's maybe, welcome our guests and get the show started.
Yeah, no, let's do that. I don't have anything else to mention. But speaking of Florida, so I have one of my colleagues from Florida, from Delray Beach, on the show today, Rachel Cook, and also want to welcome another colleague, Molly Lombardi. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So for everyone on the line who's going to be listening to this, I really just wanted to do a show about a couple of things. We're doing some exciting work at Brandon Hall Group lately, and recently this summer, early in the summer actually, Molly Lombardi joined Brandon Hall Group. And so I want to tell you a little bit about Molly and then about Rachel, and then really dive into some of the things that we've been working on, because if you have your HR practitioner hat on and you're listening to this, I think you're going to find some of these things actually pretty exciting, because we're doing some things that are really innovative in terms of for practitioners, but also from a vendor perspective as well. So we thought we'd do a show about data now, because obviously just coming off of the HR Technology Conference, where data is a huge topic, we thought it would be very timely to really kind of tackle it ourselves. So so first, to give you a little bit of information about Molly, if you're not familiar with her, Molly Lombardi is the Vice President and Principal Analyst of our Workforce Management practice at Brandon Hall Group. She has spent the last 15 years working with HR leaders across the globe, surveying and interviewing tens of thousands of end users to understand the key workforce challenges facing today's organizations. Her research focuses on understanding the combination of strategies, processes, and tools and technologies that enable the organizations to achieve measurable business success. Molly's research and consulting work has helped organizations in a wide variety of industries unleash the potential of their talent, unlock the insights from their workforce data, which we all know is extremely important and needed, and to think through the change management challenges required by the shifting demographics, changing marketplace needs, and technological innovation in the human capital space. She's written and spoken about a wide variety of HCM topics, including strategic workforce management, workforce planning, employee assessments and learning, as well as the use of emerging technologies. Rachel, who is our Chief Operating Officer at Brandon Hall Group, is responsible for our business operations, including overseeing client services, our awards program, design and project management as well. She's worked in the HCM research industry for the last 10 years and has 15 years experience in sales, marketing, business development, and sales performance management. And before her current role, she was the COO and co-founder of AC Growth. Prior to that, she held several senior management roles and was on the leadership team at Burson & Associates, who is another leading research company in the state. In her senior director role, she developed a strategy and led the commercial execution for the solution provider vertical and grew the vertical into the company's largest market segment. In her role as director of sales, she developed and led a team of senior account executives focused on acquiring global strategic accounts. So welcome to both Molly and Rachel.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you guys on the show. This is exciting.
I know. For me, it's sort of like, I've been an analyst now for coming up on a year, but I'll be honest, working with people with this type of experience when I was coming from a practitioner background is an honor, because these are the people who really know the market inside and out, and they've been doing it for a long time. So I'm honored to have them on the show and honored to have them as colleagues. So what I thought we'd do to kick it off, first, Molly, why don't you just tell us a little bit more about yourselves? I mean, we've read the official bio. We've got
sure.
you all I'll down, you know, if we need to do a press release or something. But tell us a little bit about you, like what, you know, about
sure.
you personally, what got you into this line of work.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and
I would say,
what you thought about it.
Yeah, I have such a classic background for becoming an analyst because I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Theater. So, you know, it's a really deep qualification, you know, from an educational background. But, you know, actually I have to say being in the arts is kind of a good proving ground for corporate America because, you know, there's divas, there's budgets, there's deadlines, you know. So
there's drama, right?
Exactly. But actually, you know, started my career after school, you know, working with a small boutique consulting firm where I got an opportunity to, you know, learn from great research directors. And because it was a small firm, got to be in meetings and rooms I never should have been in and got a great education, you know, from the consultants and analysts I worked with and researchers as well as the clients. And really, you know, after some time with that firm, went out on my own for a couple of years, helping organizations with their talent and workforce strategies, and then came into the analyst world. So I've really kind of had a couple of different perspectives. Turns out I'm a data geek in addition to everything else. So really love.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. Right. Love digging into.
We appreciate that.
Digging into the spreadsheets and finding the stories and you know, I always you tell us about yourself, I always feel like I'm suddenly the most boring person on the planet, but you know, sort of have fun with the data. I live in New England, have a giant dog that is the center of our universe, and that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Good. Well, we're all dog fans here, so I think that's a good thing. Dog people are good people. I mean, right, Steve? You've got a dog.
Yeah, but I'm sort of, you know, I'm a little indifferent towards the dog too. Like, I mean, I like the dog, but you know, I'm not probably the right person to talk too much about the dog. I like the dog. I'll leave it at that.
Oh no, you're indifferent to your own dog. That's concerning.
I'm a little indifferent to sort of dogs and cats and sort of general. Like, I like them, but, like, I want them to be more. See, I moved off the farm a bunch of years ago now. So I want the dog to be more of a working dog. Like, the dog now is just kind of a, you know, like all the other animals. They're just like, you know, house guests that don't do anything but cause trouble. And, you know what I mean? They're not really useful anymore.
Well, I do like to joke when I was a sole proprietor that the dog wasn't showing any leadership potential, so that's why I had to go work with other people. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
I want the dog pulling his own weight a little bit, or her weight.
I have guilt with my little dogs because since I have had a little baby last year, I don't feel like I give them enough attention, so I always try to push it on to the kids to give them attention. Like, they really need attention.
That is so true. Once you have a baby, then I feel the dogs get a little bit neglected, don't they?
It's so hard. I feel like you get pulled in so many different directions.
I know.
Yep. Well, I hear that. So, you know, with that, we have Rachel. Rachel, why don't you give us a little more than the, you know, again, I gave the very official who you are. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and what you like doing and fill people in.
Thank you, Trish, and thank you, Steve. Thank you, Beth, for having me here today. I'm really excited. And let's see a little bit more about me. Well, I grew up in Queens, New York, and I heard, Steve, you mention how you're getting kind of tired of the weather a little bit in Western New York. So you're just beginning to get into the season. It's been a while. I've been in Florida for almost 25 years. But I do miss the Northeast. I do get to go back to visit at times. But I can say that I really enjoy the Florida weather in spite of the 3 to 4 months when it's really humid and hot. And especially for those that live up north and in the Midwest, when you come down here during this time, you wonder, how can you live here? So when you're growing up and you're walking and your feet are freezing in the snow and you're having to take a train to high school, it becomes a bit much. But it's nice to experience both. And let's see, I really enjoy this industry. I've been in it for a while. I kind of fell into it. You know, I never expected to work for a research analyst firm early on. My education was in sociology. I really enjoy understanding how people interact with each other. I like learning new things. And I think that's what I find so fascinating about this industry is that it continues to change. And it's so innovative, especially with all the technologies in the market. And the things that we did 10 years ago in business, what we're doing today is not even imaginable. I can't imagine in another 10 years what the market's going to be like. So to be at the pulse of it is so exciting. Kind of like the expectation that change is the new normal. I love it. And I love working with corporations as they leverage our research and our services to transform their organizations and helping them also select enabling HCM technologies to help them be more efficient and effective. And not to mention our great team that we have at Brandon Hall Group. It's so exciting to work with all these great people and talented people.
Well, I agree. I think, you know, you definitely bring passion and excitement to the workplace for us as well. So it's, you know, it's definitely a mutual admiration for sure, Rachel. So, well, speaking of exciting things, and what really got me interested in wanting to do a show specifically with you two are two of the things that Brandon Hall has going on that are very quite new, not just to Brandon Hall Group, but also to the industry. So first I wanted to talk about one of our new solutions. It's called Data Now, so our newest product release, and has only been out for several weeks. And really wanted, Molly, if you could kind of tell us a little bit about Data Now, how it came to be, and some of the, you know, the decisions that went into creating something like this that's really pretty groundbreaking in the HR industry.
Yeah, thanks so much. Data Now is really, it was born out of a desire to put information in users' hands more quickly and allow them to be able to not only get information quickly, but get information that's going to be meaningful to them. So what Data Now does is it really allows our member organizations to go into our data, look at it sort of question by question in a pretty granular format, and not only be able to look at the data for all of the research questions that we ask, but also be able to filter it into ways that are going to be meaningful for them. So things like by company size or by industry or by geography. So we really wanted to be able to put data in the hands of, you know, practitioners and solution providers that can help them make decisions. And so it's really kind of exciting to not just be able to access our research, you know, in the written formats that we've had before, or things like infographics or things that we have taken the data and created out of them, but also kind of a new level of being able to get at some of the core data and being able to target it to exactly what people are looking for. So we're pretty excited about getting that data into users' hands.
Well, you know, I think that is such a new and exciting, innovative use of data. And, you know, I'll tell you from the standpoint of people who, you know, we look at this sort of thing all the time, what kind of reaction are you getting from both our current members or from, you know, prospective members you're talking to about their overall reaction to this type of a service? Is it something that they're looking forward to using? What are you hearing?
Yeah, we've gotten great reception, which has been fantastic. You know, we sort of beta this with a few people as we were building it to try and get their feedback, make sure it's as usable as possible. We're going through ongoing improvement as it launches and we get feedback as well. But we're really getting a lot of positive responses, particularly around people being able to filter the data. We often, when we write our research from the data, we try and get as many perspectives as we can. But, you know, if you are a small company in a particular geography, in a particular industry, the data may look different for you. And we may not, you know, in terms of the writing that we're able to do, cover every single angle. So I think it's an interesting way for organizations to get at that, you know, maybe one key data point that they're really itching to get at to be able to benchmark themselves against people who are in very similar situations, whether it's industry or company size, but also combine that with the rest of our data that's really done the deeper analysis of the particular topic they may be looking at. So they might want to benchmark the cost of learning, for example, for organizations of a similar size in a similar industry, but then in combination with the other research we've written about, you know, trends in learning and learning technology, they can really make better informed decisions. So it's allowing them sort of a new tool to help them refine and target some of their thinking about some of the other research that we've also published as well. So we really think it goes hand in hand with the deep analysis and the insight that our analysts bring in the rest of the information that we provide to our members.
You know, I think that's a great point, Molly, because, you know, having been in that role where I've had CFOs and CEOs come to me, you know, where I needed data, it wasn't just about going out and getting a report that was already created. You're right, especially in some of those mid-sized companies, too, that I've worked in. That was always the request. It was like, well, yes, you're bringing me this data, but how does this really apply to us? So
exactly.
I think that's a really unique aspect, being able to sort of slice it and dice it specifically for your C-suite in a way that they
I'd agree to Trisha and Molly as well. Like, I can even think about, like, when I was running HR tech on the corporate side, the last couple of jobs I had on that, and we'd sometimes look at not you guys, other analysts reports that were, but they were just kind of ponderous. I mean, they were good and they were really detailed and thorough and all of this. But you know, I remember one of the ones I got there. It was like 200 pages long, and it had everything about everything, and right, and only some sliver of it or some portion of it was really going to be applicable or relevant to me. But it was certainly very difficult for me, and I knew what I was doing, kind of, or so I thought. It was still kind of difficult for me to discern the real nuggets of valuable information from, you know, from such voluminous research. So I think that's another aspect of this that sounds like it's really going to be, you know, really appealing to the corporate user. At least that's what it seems to me from my perspective of having that job for a while.
Yeah, and I think, too, it makes the sort of the thought leadership pieces more powerful, because then they're in the context of, you know, what's actually happening for organizations like yours. So I think it's hopefully making the other pieces of research even more useful to them, because they can actually, you know, think about the big ideas and the big thought leadership pieces, but within the context of, you know, the reality of what other companies are experiencing. So
yeah, that's great.
Well, and you know what, Steve, I think you hit on something that I've been thinking about. I mean, the bigger question beyond just, you know, data now itself is really organizational readiness. I mean, you kind of joked that you knew or thought you knew how to use data in that position. And I would put myself in that same category. As an HR practitioner at the time, I thought I was probably maybe more well-versed than many of my colleagues or peers. But what about overall market readiness? I mean, Molly, are you seeing, you know, that people are really embracing it because they just haven't had anything like it? Or are you feeling like they're ready for this? What kind of feedback?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's sort of the spectrum of readiness, you know, out there. I think there's
the spectrum of readiness.
Spectrum of readiness.
All right, we're going to coin that term.
You know, you do have some really savvy, you know, leaders that are used to, you know, managing by the numbers and are used to sort of using some analytics tools. And so I think they're ready. But I think it's also, you know, people are looking for guidance. Even when you're looking with solution providers who have analytics offerings or data visualization offerings, it's not enough to just provide the data. You also need to provide some of the context and the now what do I do with it. So we're seeing that as a need for organizations. You know, in the workforce management research we just did, the need for better workforce analytics was the number one driver that organizations cited. But the lack of tools and the lack of sort of skill sets around analytics is still kind of shocking. So people know they need it, but organizations, I think, still need a little boost. They need tools, but they also need the context. And so I think whether it's, you know, using data now and having the tool to query a data point, but then also the context of the analyst research and the analyst, you know, insight around it, or whether you're looking at you know, talent analytics or workforce analytics in your business, you know, having the data from your organization as well as the insight of, you know, what to do if you're querying and finding out you're having a problem with turnover and you dig in and find out it's about your sources of hire, you know, how can providers also provide the insight on what to do next? So I think that's a trend that we're really seeing is organizations, they're ready in terms of the desire. They're not always ready in terms of the skill set, so they're looking for tools and solution providers that go beyond just the mechanics of here's your data and really help them think through, the, you know, what to do about it.
Yeah. You know, to me, it's two sides of that coin, right? I think certainly, you know, from the perspective I had, right, when I was doing this job and trying to help organizations through technology, I do felt like we were probably fairly far along on the spectrum of readiness, as you say. But, that next step, and I think that's where the research really comes in, right? It's not just here's some data points or here's a nice scatter plot or whatever the visualization is. Let's get a little bit deeper behind that and help me understand the data and then help me understand what I might want to do next. But I think that's the benefit of having that deep level or that deep sort of catalog of research that you have is going to be beneficial to organizations. I think that's a really compelling kind of a package, it sounds like.
Yeah, because the data alone, you know, it doesn't have any context, doesn't have any relative meaning. It's when you start to, you know, you apply analytics and compare it with other and relate it and correlate it to other pieces of data, then you start to be able to get insight and be able to take action. I think that's sort of the next step that organizations are looking for help with.
Yeah, Yeah.
You know, I think too, and it didn't really strike me this way initially, but hearing you describe it just now, it came to me that it's really also such a training tool for the HR team, because again, if the HR leader, even if the HR leader is savvy, you know, the rest of the team is still probably, you know, in various stages of their career. And so being able to have that context around the data will help train them so that when it comes time, whether they become an HR manager or an HR director or whatever in their career, they'll be ready. They will have already started having that understanding. I feel like that's something maybe, you know, 15 years ago that didn't really exist, or at least in my world didn't exist. I didn't really have someone telling me about the importance of analytics and how to even prepare myself.
Yeah, that's a great point. But I think it's changing, right? Like, I look at HR leaders like yourself. Look at the HR leaders that we had on our panel, right, across in our panel at HR Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think are pretty representative of sort of the modern HR leader. And I just have to say this, and I don't know if anybody will hear this. I am getting tired of, like, cranky old guys writing articles about how HR doesn't get anything. And I've read a few of them, like, in the last week, you know, and I'm really tired of them. And I don't think that's fair characterization for at least lots of the HR leaders that you know and I know and that came to our event last week. So I just had to say that. I just had to get that off my chest as apropos of something that's been bothering me this week a little bit. So sorry about that.
Well, there you go. Tell us how you really feel. I mean, go ahead.
Oh, my God. I'm going to write about this. I've about had it, though, and I'm ready to start, like, going off on that. But
I have to tell you, too, though, on the other end of the spectrum, I've had very, you know, junior colleagues who were very new to the space, and they were terrified of data. And it was like pulling teeth to get them to understand the importance of data. So for me, I'm thinking, if I'm an HR leader and I have those type of people I'm trying to sort of teach and bring up in the organization, something like DataNow is going to help me to do that, because, again, it's showing context and data as well. And I think it's going to be critical for the people who are, you know, just coming out of college or maybe 2 or 3 years into their career to understand mm-hmm. how important it is. You know, we've sort of figured it out, right? But we're 20 years in almost. So, or more in your case, Mr. Bose. But
what?
Anyway,
that's frightening when you get to that point in your career when they start describing it in decades, right?
That's right. Wait, what? Steve has a rule about that. I forget exactly what it was. What was it after 15 years?
They become when you do your bio. I forget what the number was. It might have been 15 or something.
I think you said it's 15.
When you're working up through your career and you have a bio or a LinkedIn profile, whatever it is, right? You say, I have 7 years experience of this. I have 12 years experience of this. There's some number you hit where you stop adding up more incremental years to your experience. You just say more than some number, right? And
yeah.
You just leave it vague. So I think it was 15, right? It's like, I have more than 15 years experience of blah, 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 right? Because I'm not going to keep tacking 1 year on anymore.
Exactly.
It's depressing to do it that way.
So see, that's been Rachel's bio is perfect. So
yeah,
bravo.
Yeah, I stopped with the incrementally adding years. It's a whole birthday.
I'll be borderline those years here pretty soon.
You'll have to keep that all in mind.
Yeah.
So
it's been 5 years; it hasn't changed.
Okay.
I've used the same profile picture for I don't even know how long. It's forever ago. And it still sort of looks like me, but it's certainly a younger, better version of me.
I had one good day 5 years ago, and I'm sticking with it.
Oh,
yeah.
You guys. See, I'm the opposite. I'd take a selfie every other week and change it if I could.
Oh, no.
Some standard pictures here across the team, but some liked them, some didn't. Personally, I like my old ones, so I can't really complain.
Hey, Trish, we should probably do a quick reset. We've been in this for about 25 minutes or so. This is HR Happy Hour 192, DataNow, Steve Bose, Trish McFarland, of course. Trish, we're talking data and analytics with your colleagues from Bennett Hall Group, Rachel Cook and Molly Lombardi, having a good time with it as well. See, data is fun, Trish. Data is fun. And
that's really the message. That's truly,
I love
yeah.
it.
No, I believe it. I believe it. And
I believe
you
it,
know,
too.
I tell you what, a lot of exciting things happening besides data now, right, like that are happening with you guys and
Absolutely. And
Brandon Hall Group. So let's, like, maybe, you know, hit a couple of those topics before we have to wrap.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, okay, yeah, I can. You guys have an exciting new conference coming up. It's called the Excellence Conference, coming up in January 28th, 30th in Fort Lauderdale. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. I know I'm going to be a little bit of a part of it. And quite frankly, when Trish mentioned this to me about being a part of this event, all I really heard was Florida in January. And I was sold. I didn't really need to hear any more, but there's a lot more happening than that. I'd love to learn a little bit more about what's going on with the conference.
Well, Rachel, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the event? I know you've been really, really working closely on the planning of the event.
I'd love to, and we're really excited about the HCM conference next year. As Steve mentioned, at the end of January, that it will be held in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on the water at Pier 66, so the venue is a great location. But besides the venue, this is going to be a phenomenal event, providing a lot of great sessions for all HCM professionals. We have some really unique, incredible research-based sessions covering topics from high-performance talent management, workforce analytics, groundbreaking social mobile learning, high-performance onboarding and talent acquisition, and much more. We are also delighted to be recognizing award winners from our 20th Annual Excellence Awards program, which is really exciting for us. We've gone through a lot of transformation over the last couple years here. We've expanded our coverage across all of the practice areas with HCM. And it really is truly phenomenal to have the analyst team that we have on board, along with the phenomenal award-winning organizations that have been recognized for their achievements. We have executives presenting from companies such as Bank of America, Cargill, Verizon, Accenture, Motorola, and many more award-winning organizations as well will be participating. It's going to be a mix of different types of interactive sessions. It's not your typical just a presenter sharing a presentation for an hour, but most of the sessions are going to be in either a panel or an interview format, encouraging a lot of engagement and interaction with the audience and information sharing and networking. It's really exciting event. And then, as Steve mentioned, you're going to be participating along with Trish, facilitating a number of different sessions. We have Trish with Ben Eubanks that they will be leading an unconference session that should be
nice.
Pretty active and fun. And actually, I'm going to be going next month to HR Revolution, which I'll experience your event for the first time. So that's also really exciting.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Trish.
I was just going to say, I mean, for me, it's really exciting, too, because, again, there are a lot of different events out there, but I think this one, especially having so much research baked into the sessions, such a good takeaway for leaders to go to. But then also being able to work somewhere where we can be creative and inject some different types of formats into it. I mean, Ben and I are really excited, obviously, to have an unconference session. And you know, as you were talking about the session you're going to be involved in, Steve, you said it, you came because of Florida in January, but really, didn't you come because you love data? The session is all about data, right?
Yeah.
It's about, and we're with Mike Sinca from Equifax, which, I mean, talk about, you know, hearing from a leading expert on data. You know, you can't get any more expert than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, you sort of hooked me with the Florida in January for sure. But, no, seriously, though, I think it's a great idea and excited about being a participant along with Mike Sinca. Yeah, Sinca's a great guy and really smart guy, too. I'm going to have to do my best not to look not to look dumb up there, but that's okay. But, I think as Rachel suggested and Trish mentioned as well, you know, experimenting with some different formats and different information delivery mechanisms in a conference event is really, I think, a good idea. And it's something, you know, I've got to tell you, we've thought about at Data for Tech, and it's difficult sometimes, right? Because much like you said, Molly was talking about the spectrum of readiness for organizations to take a more sort of data-driven and data-informed approach to HR. I find that conference attendees also have a spectrum of readiness for their capacity to absorb new delivery models and new formats. And you know, I think experimentation is really important in a conference setting. And to try to find out what's going to work, what's going to be accepted. Because honestly, just like in the data discussion, I found there's a lot of our attendees, at least for our events, my events, that have a pretty traditional expectation of what they're going to get, at a conference. So trying to nudge them in some new directions is challenging, but also I think important and worthwhile, and I think which will keep your events kind of interesting and exciting, and I hope to learn too from it as well. I mean, when I go to events, Trish, personally, whether it's HR Evolution or the Brandon Hall event or other events I go to, I try to learn. I try to steal a little bit as well, what makes sense, what can I bring to HR Tech going forward too.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it, and I really think it's the people that make the event, right? It's the ability to connect with each other, to develop relationships, and to learn from each other. And you and Trish and the rest of you have been so influential in really developing the pathway for all of these events. And it's an exciting time. And I think, again, mentioning our awards program in its 20th year, we've had other types of events in the past, other types of ceremonies, but we really are developing, I believe, something that is truly going to be phenomenal and an event that will continue to enhance year after year. But it's really about the people, and it's about our team, and it's about the content and about the research. And the location's great too, but
yeah, of course, of course. So, where can Rachel? Where can folks go to just learn more, check out the event, maybe sign up, get some more information? Where should they go?
Sure, you can visit us at www.brandonhall.com, and on our homepage, you'll see a link to 2015 Excellence Conference. You will find information about the program, about the speakers, the presenters. Some of our fantastic sponsors. Also, a little bit about our keynote, which I hadn't mentioned, Susan Ursler. Susan and her husband were the first couple to climb Mount Everest and the Seven Summits together. And she has a really unique success story about personal goals, achievements, kind of the tools that she learned from that experience and how she applied to her corporate career, and I think she has a fascinating story to tell, and that kind of sets the stage to the excellence theme, and that should be really interesting. It should be a lot of great information that we'll hear from her.
Awesome. All right, Trish, we probably ought to wrap up. Molly, maybe last word from you, Trish, and as well, and maybe take this one home.
Sure. Well, I mean, just first of all, thanks for letting me be on the show today and sharing my data geekiness with everyone. And we hope to see a lot of you in Florida in January.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. Molly, I didn't even mention this at the top. I remember like a very special dinner that I shared with you and a couple of others one time this year in like a hotel lobby, right? That was high
class.
Oh,
yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Really fun. Well, Molly, thanks for being on the show. It's been great to have you.
Thanks so much.
Well, and thanks, Rachel, for coming on the show, too. I know, we're obviously very passionate about this event that we're planning, and you just did a beautiful job of sort of letting people know what makes it special and why we're passionate about it. So thanks for coming on and sharing that with all the listeners.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Trish and Steve. It's been great.
Yeah, no, our pleasure. Absolutely. Trish, great stuff. I can't wait. Lots of good things happening. HR Evolution, Brandon Hall Excellence Conference, holidays in between we've got to squeeze in, and lots of shows. We've been sort of dark since before HR Tech, and now we're doing a flurry of HR Happy Hour shows in the next couple of weeks.
We are. We have, I think 5 in the next couple of weeks, but, trying to gear up for HR Evolution, obviously, and then just getting back on track. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So exciting stuff. So I guess we'll wrap it up here. You know, we'll be doing, we got some shows coming up, some of the HR Evolution sponsors as well as a couple of other things going on. Probably we'll do, I don't know if we'll figure out a way to do some recordings. Maybe we're at HR Evolution itself. We'll get a few people to get on the record, and we'll do something from there too. That will be a lot of fun. And then just more good stuff to come, lots of exciting stuff with the show. Trying to get the website back up to date. It's almost there, a couple more days.
It's almost there, we're close.
Yeah, no, thanks for all the work you did on that, Trish. And I've got some swag still. I'll probably order some more swag. I'm like, yeah, I should probably order some more HR Happy Hour swag to bring down to HR Evolution too. I should probably get on
you
that.
You should.
But, yeah, I will. So awesome. So I think we'll wrap. Good stuff. Thanks again to Rachel and to Molly and, of course, Trish for basically setting all this up and making it happen. I love that. So thank you very much. And we'll talk to you soon. This show should post, like I said, tomorrow, well, Wednesday, and we'll get this going. And I know a flurry of HR Happy Hour shows. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Check us out on iTunes, HR Happy Hour, or on your favorite podcast player. Just search for HR Happy Hour. So, Trish, and we didn't talk about this. I made the switch to Android. I followed your lead. I made the big switch.
You did?
I did. I'm excited about that, too. In fact, I'm doing the show on my new phone, my new LG phone. I'm excited about that.
Perfect. They're good phones.
Yeah, Team LG. Awesome. So, all right. I guess we're out. Trish, thanks. Thanks to Molly and Rachel, and we'll see you next time on the HR Happy Hour show.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.